This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, so as we get ready for the start of the baseball season, which is obviously rapidly approaching, from a Yankee perspective, everybody's focused on what's not there, the rotation. When's Cole coming back? Rodon's velocity's down to get over the weekend. Nasty very well might be a one-hit wonder. The other questions about the staff, and there's a lot of them. I got to tell you, the way the game has gone, you know, the last 5, 6, 7 years, but probably even more than that, the Yankees are going to get to the World Series based on their sticks, Moose. Moose, by the way, is in for Sal. Not their arms, dude. If the Yankees are getting somewhere and they're doing something meaningful this season, the Yankees are going to blast their way with their bats.
I'd love to see it. I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I'm more of an old school kind of a baseball guy, where you look at it where pitching still wins. And I think you have to put together a staff that's capable of shutting down good lineups. And there have been teams that have been outliers that have hit their way to a championship. First off, this team does not have the repertoire or the resume to be able to do it. Even a guy like Aaron Judge has never, you know, raked a ton come October. Soto's the only guy that's really done it. DJ LeMahieu's done it, but DJ LeMahieu's hurt once again and has been a shell of himself for the last 3 years. So you look up and down this lineup, and I don't disagree that I think this Yankee lineup is going to be able to pound really bad pitching during the course of the regular season. I think they're going to generate a lot of runs. I think everyone that's into launch angle and hitting the ball over the fence, I don't disagree with any of that. But they were a pitcher short before Gerrit Cole had the nerve issue and the edema in his pitching elbow. And now we know that he's going to be gone for at least probably the first 2 months, right? For argument's sake of the MLB regular season. Now you're looking at it, even when he does return, there's still a starter short. I don't know if I necessarily could wholeheartedly look at Carlos Rodon and say, yeah, you know what, BT? I wholeheartedly believe Rodon's going to be good enough to not dig himself into a hole after what we saw last year. Marcus Stroman's splits at Yankee Stadium are downright terrible, and we've already seen the combustible Marcus Stroman here with the Mets over in Queens. And then you get to the rest of them. Nestor Cortez, outlier, about a season and a half, he's been really good. Last year, he was a disaster. He's either hurt or down performance. And then you get to the uptick of Clark Schmidt. So, no, I don't think the rotation, I don't disagree that the bats are going to be good in the regular season. Do I think they're good enough to help this team win a World Series come October to overcome what I think is really subpar starting rotation? I do not.
So I look at it this way. Again, the modern game, not going back to 68 with Bob Gibson and the Tigers when they lower the mound and nobody's hitting when starting, you know, the Seavers and the Steve Carltons and those guys. Talking about 2024, and I think people who look at the game and see, it's hard to do it in real time because as things change, it's like seeing your child every day. Obviously, you don't see the growth every single day. But, you know, say if a relative doesn't see him for 7, 8 months, like, oh, look, Joey got so big. Oh, look, getting so big. That's what's happened with baseball. So you look at the game. Moose, I think that I'll tell you this. Forget about the starting stuff for a second. I think the two most important aspects of baseball at this point, got to hit and he better have a good bullpen. Because if we can, I mean, Blake Snell's won two Cy Youngs, never gets to the eighth inning. The emphasis, and it's a talking point, but it's an old one. It doesn't apply anymore. Where are the aces throughout baseball? If this was a long time ago, and there were other teams that had two, like, you know, even though the Braves never won as much as they should have, but at least going into a season, had two, three aces, I think I would feel you a little bit more. Where are the certified aces in baseball? One of the guys who was very good a year ago didn't even have a job in Jordan Montgomery. So I think if you can hit, if you can get into the other team's bullpen, you got a chance.
Well, but we're having two different arguments. We're talking about the evolution of starters and how the bullpen has kind of overseen that. And that's really analytics, right? When you look at it, Tampa Bay and the Rays were ahead of the curve with that, where they minimize the impact of the starters, where the starters aren't going as deep into games, and then you're using spin rate and all the information that you're getting into the dugout in terms of trying to project when there's going to be a downturn of the performance within any given game of that starter. So that's a different argument than if starters play come October. And I always believe that, and this is not 1968, 1978, 1988, 1998, there's always a place for dominant starting pitchers. Why did Yoshinobu Yamamoto get $325 million in the offseason? Why did the Mets spend the money they did on Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander? Why did Gerrit Cole get the kind of money that he got? Why did they give Carlos Rodon $162 million? Starters are always going to get paid. Now, you're going to look at it and say, well, Blake Snell only got 2 years, $62 million deal. Well, he's often been hurt. He's not gone out there and been healthy the entirety of his career. He's also a starting pitcher in his 30s, right? Yamamoto's a guy that's 25 years old. The Dodgers obviously look at it and say to themselves, yeah, you know what? We need dominant starting pitching. The Yankees went to $300 million on Yamamoto. The Mets went to $320 on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So there's still the place for dominant starting pitching and how it can help you win baseball games, even with the evolution of the bullpen and how it is used. But you bring it back full circle to this Yankees team this year, and there's no doubt this Yankee team, especially with, they have two of the top five hitters in the sport, right? So you have, look at Judge and you look at Soto, two of the top five hitters in the sport. They are going to absolutely obliterate teams because of their presence in the lineup, right? And then everybody else trickle down from that. Rizzo, Stan, everybody else, BT, and you know that better than anybody else. But I look at the starters. I think the lineup can overcome the starting rotation in the regular season. If we're looking at October, the Yankees were in on Blake Snell for a reason. They were in on Blake Snell for a reason because, you know what? They looked at it and said, we are a starter short, and now we have concerns about Gerrit Cole. They've re-engaged Jordan Montgomery for a reason. If they wholeheartedly believe that their lineup was good enough to go out there and absolutely rake and just hit their way to a World Series title, they wouldn't have been in on either one of those two guys, but they were.
But think about all the names you threw out. So Yamamoto, and I understand why aces are pursued because there's a dearth of them, but Yamamoto, great, Dodgers got him. He got shelled in the spring, got shelled his first start when it mattered. Gerrit Cole, we love Gerrit Cole, but Gerrit Cole hasn't won anything. You know, and, you know, in a wild card game against the Red Sox, he got absolutely obliterated. You mentioned Verlander and Scherzer. Fantastic. The Mets went out and pursued a couple of aces. Great. Where did it get them? Yeah, there's always a place for aces, but there's pitchers that teams perceive to be aces or, I don't know, it's not that different from like the scouting combine. You need a quarterback, you fall in love with the off-platform throws, and you convince yourself this guy's the real deal, like the Jets did with Zach. Okay, it's going to happen again. It's already happening now.
Great pro day.
Oh, God, listen, he's got a Hall of Fame pro day. Of course, you know, that's all
look
he gave us there.
Great in gym shorts.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But I think when you need something, you tend to overinflate, you know, who you're pursuing. And I don't know. I don't see 12, 13 amazing starting pitchers out there that are littering the landscape of baseball that make it seem like the Yankees are so far behind everybody else. I don't see that. And I also, it's not there. I'm not saying that there aren't really good pitchers, but, I mean, the best pitcher in baseball is on the Yankees. He's hurt now. Gerrit Cole, I get that. Who else is out there that you, when you look at this Yankee team, if they are humming, and I'm going to assume that they are, on all cylinders in October, they can't touch. I don't think there's anybody out there.
Well, but do you look at this rotation right now as presently constituted? I'm down one game to none in the series. I'm giving the ball to Carlos Rodon. and you have the utmost confidence that Rodon's going to give you a stellar start?
No.
Or that
no.
you're not going to be put behind the eight ball
no.
and you're down 4-0
no.
in the second inning?
No.
How about Marcus Stroman?
So I've got very little. Yeah, I got
Schmidt.
Nestor Cortez. I don't have a lot of confidence in that. But how many teams are trying out three or four guys that are putting up zeros? That's my point.
No.
Come out, you hit, you do your job. If Judge performs the way Judge is supposed to perform, if Soto's the transcendent hitter that you know we all say that he is, well, do your job in October and make the life of everybody else in the lineup easier. And if that happens, the Yanks can beat anybody.
No, I'm not telling you that Judge and Soto are not brilliant, but Soto's done it. Judge has never done it.
For sure. Neither did A-Rod till 2009. I mean, you got to break through it. You know, it takes time.
But A-Rod had a little help that year.
But he didn't have Juan Soto next to him.
No, I'm not talking about Soto. I'm not talking about Soto.
The PEDs. Yeah, he had a little bit of help that year. We'll get him some needles, whatever it takes. I don't care.
But
because they're going to have to hit their way there.
But I'll give A-Rod credit for 2009, right? And there's no doubt about it. But you look at Rizzo did in Chicago with the Cubs. Giancarlo Stanton, who's looked a little bit better as of late, trimmed down. But Giancarlo Stanton has become the guy that Yankee fans like to point to for a reason, right? Volpe had a good rookie year. He really did. They're flattening out his swing, right? Less relying on launch angle, all well and good. Gleyber Torres contract year. You're looking at Verdugo. Finally, the lineup is a lot more balanced. Listen, I have a smile on my face every single day looking at this Yankee lineup and being able to watch Soto and Judge in that lineup. Hopefully they stay healthy for the better part when they're in the lineup together for, 162 games, whatever, whenever they're in the lineup, 150, 155 games, whatever it might be. Hopefully, cross the fingers. I just look at this rotation and I say to myself, it's not good enough. I look at it and say, do I trust those guys? Not that they need to be dominant Cy Young firing up zeros with 12 strikeouts. Do I have confidence that they're not going to melt on the mound?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
even have the most basic baseline of confidence that they won't implode.
If you have Cole, I trust. Even though Cole is a guy that, and how could you not? And
he
has changed the narrative in New York City, which is very difficult to do about Gerrit Cole, right? Mm-hmm. So is Edwin Diaz with the Mets. Very difficult to do in this marketplace. I don't have that confidence in Nestor Cortez. Do you have that confidence in Marcus Stroman? He's giddy as anything to be a Yankee, but we've seen Marcus Stroman, in Major League Baseball. And I don't know what you're going to get from Carlos Rodon. It's great that he's trimmed down. It's great that he trimmed the mustache. You know, he got lit up at his last spring training start. But the other aspect with Rodon is last year, it got revealed that he's got a back issue that's not going to go away. So what is Carlos Rodon going to be for the entirety of this season? Is he going to be able to make 30-plus starts? And then come October, is he going to be that dominant? He should have been embarrassed by the way that he pitched last year. But guy, right now, sitting here in March, BT, and saying to myself, I completely trust Carlos Rodon to be that caliber of a starter.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't push back too much on that. I just think that they're going to be in a spot where... And by the way, if not, then, this has a chance. And we'll get to these calls here coming up. BT and Sal on the Fan, 877-337-6666. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. This has a chance, Moose, to be either one of the most amazing Yankee seasons in a long time or... one of the most combustible, I'll give you this, one of the most combustible, disjointed, possibly disappointing seasons, certainly this century.
More than it's gonna 82 be. And 80 last year?
Yeah, because they didn't have Juan Soto last year, because Aaron Judge ran into a wall in Dodger Stadium, because the Rizzo got concussed with his elbow, when he got smashed by Tatis.
Yeah.
Trevino got hurt. I mean, yes. The answer is yes. Volpe was a rookie. They had no left field. It was Hicks. It was Gallo. Yes. They had Bader, who couldn't do anything in center. Dominguez hadn't arrived on the scene yet. Yes, by a wide margin.
Yeah, see,
really?
I don't know if I necessarily... I think the Yankees are going to win in the regular season. I think they're going to win baseball games. If it all falls apart, then yes. I mean, if you're looking as half glass empty and say, it just doesn't work, well then, you know what? It's going to be even more embarrassing than the 82 and 80 last year for everything that you just mentioned. I don't think it's ever going to get to that point. I don't think you're ever going to get to the conversation. I know a lot of Met fans bring up, Soto's going to leave following the season. I don't care as a Yankee fan. If Steve Cohen gives him $550 million, so be it. Soto goes out there and does his job, and the Yankees are able to win come October, and they're able to strengthen this rotation and make this team that much more dynamic come October and finally win a World Series for the first time since 2009, and he decides to leave in free agency, BT, I've made the argument all along, Soto's done his job. Like, if the Yankees decide not to pay him, I'm not looking at, I'm not projecting or looking ahead. I'm trying to enjoy the moment right now. I think the Yankee lineup is going to be really good. Where you and I disagree is, I don't think this lineup can make up for the deficiency of the rotation with a healthy Gerrit Cole come October. They're a starter short. Now they're two starters short to begin the year.
All right, let's get to you. 877-337-6666. Frank's in Syosset, BT and Sound Law, the Fan. Frank, what's going on, buddy? Hello, Frank.
I love the both of you. I've talked to both of you a lot of times over the years. BT, I got to go with Mark. There's only one way, in my opinion, that your view is going to become a reality.
Okay.
And that's putting your sluggers in the third and fourth slot and call it old school. But Mark had a big thing yesterday about analytics, and I spoke to Mark, and you got to put your sluggers in the third and fourth slot, and you got to have table setters, and it's about RBIs. It's not a two-man lineup, BT. It's a seven-man lineup.
Well,
two guys are not going to overcome an opposing team's pitching staff.
No kidding, Frank. Like, you think I woke up yesterday?
No.
Come on. That's obvious.
Well, not everybody agrees with that. Everybody wants to put them in the second slot, BT.
Yeah.
They want to put Judge in the second slot.
Yeah.
He belongs
no,
in
well,
the
he's
third.
No, he's going to hit third. Soto's going to hit third. What are you talking about? It's already been said. Soto's hitting
well,
second.
Then Soto's got to be fourth.
No. Yeah, but Frank, you, all right, fantastic. I appreciate the call there, but it's not the point. Now, the analytics behind all this, and, you know, you take a number, you can kind of manipulate it any you want, any way you want. And I'm a proponent. I dive into these analytics. I go deep on this stuff, which is one of the reasons why I'm very bullish on Severino, because the numbers last year, I know I'm kind of jumping to the Mets for a sec, but Severino's numbers a year ago in terms of, you know, his usage rate and his velo and every and pitch reliance, everything was there. He was just tipping pitches. I actually think he's going to be really good. And part of that is fueled by the reliance of analytics. But it really, when you talk about getting your number two hitter up there and your number three hitter up there with more frequency, I don't know how you dispel that. I mean, Soto two, Judge three. Yeah, it's not like Reggie and Munson or Mattingly and Winfield. I know it's different, but I got no problem with it. Do you?
No, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I mean, I do have an issue with, you know, the overuse of stats and analytics. I think it can tell you whatever way you want to see, I think the stats will show you. I think, you know, Torrey said a while ago when he wrote his book, when he left the Yankees, you know, they reminded Brian Cashman, there's a heartbeat to the game. You got to understand that as well. Like, there's got to be a balance between the two. I think you can overwhelm lineups with information. We've seen that before. You saw that with the Mets. You've seen that with the Yankees. You saw it last year with the Yankees. That's why they got rid of their hitting coach and brought in Sean Casey, because they were overwhelming people with information. I mean, BT, you know this better than anybody. I mean, we're talking about, you know, high-level, high-caliber athletes, right? The game slows down, but they're able to play at a really quick pace, right? Speed kills.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to do is to start to slow down an athlete and having him think
I agree with that a little bit too much
instead of just reacting. Give him the information that they need, but you never want that athlete to be able to slow down, because you know what? The speed and the way that they're able to decipher information and still play at a very, very quick rate is what makes them elite-level players. But I think you've seen at times in Major League Baseball where they overwhelm, inundate their players with information.
Drives me
nuts. And then they're up at the plate and they're thinking instead of just reacting and playing the game that they're brilliant at.
I think that's very important now to use us as anything that remotely, you know, approaches the greatness of pro athletes would be ridiculous. But you and I have been on the golf course before together. It's been a while. But we have played golf together.
We played Maplemore in Westchester. I think that's the last time.
Remember, my back was killing me.
Your back was killing you. We walked off the course.
Duh.
We had slow players in front of us. BT on 60 was like, I got to go.
Dad wound up having back surgery shortly after that. I do remember that. It was a beautiful sunny day.
You were hitting lefty.
Yeah. But imagine, you know, playing golf. You're like, you're standing over a ball. You're having a rough day. All right, my grip. Well, let me do this. Let me get the shoulder here. Let me get the leg. You're processing 9 or 10 different things while people are watching you play. There's no way you can hit a ball straight. Whereas if, you know, you take a swig of beer, you grip it, you take a swing, chances are it's going to probably go in the vicinity of the target.
That's
so they do clutter their minds. I can't stand it, but I am very curious what happens? And you mentioned this before, the flattening out of Volpe's swing. Like, that is something, once he gets past the process, he's probably already there, of thinking about what he's trying to do. That's a player who's going to go from 209 to 260-ish like that.
BT, contact matters.
Ugh.
Like, hitting the ball matters. Like, it really does. This whole idea of the three outcomes and, you know, we're going to look at OPS and whatever. Like, there's still something to be said for batting average. I understand it's not where it once was, right? When you and I were a lot younger,
yep.
Right? And we didn't have kids and we were looking at the back of the baseball card and you looked at good players. You said, wow, he hit 280, 285. Like, the drop-off in batting average in Major League Baseball is astonishing. And I do think making contact and being able to hit to all fields is relevant still in today's day and age of Major League Baseball. I got so tired of hearing about launch angle and trying to hit the ball over the fence, but that had everything to do with velocity and the way bullpens are being used. Right. So, you know, teams are going to react to that. But average matters, and I think Volpe's average is going to go up with them reworking his swing.
Yeah, and the point is, we'll get to these calls coming up more of them. I do think that the average and all the other things that we measure hitters by will be good enough and strong enough for the Yankees where they will be able to swing their way to a World Series, and obviously there's issues that the staff. Moose thinks it's going to derail it. I don't as much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, 1028 back on the fan. BT and Sal. Brandon, it's here. Sal Licata Show, 877-337-6666. Moose sitting in for Sal today. We'll do a little Knicks later. I'm starting to get worried as well as they're playing, and boy, you got to love these Knicks on pace for 50-plus without anybody, really. All these injuries. I'm starting to think that Randall might not make it back. So we'll get to that. If you're just tuning in here, really, to me, and we disagree on this, can the Yankees' bats overcome for their pitching deficiencies? My answer is yes, and you say no.
No, I mean, I think the lineup's going to be good, but I still think pitching plays in Major League Baseball and starting pitching plays in Major League Baseball. And, you know, I've said it even before Cole got hurt with the elbow injury. I thought they were a starter short. I think they're two starters short. I think that's why they were still in on Blake Snell before he signed with the Giants. And I still think that's why you see the latest reports that they're in on Jordan Montgomery, because the Yankees know they're at least a starter short.
Okay. All right. There we go. 877-337-6666. Robert Saleh also spoke. We'll get to some of the things he said a little later in
Positive
the show.
Positive Pete.
Hey, he's always happy. That beard is dark as ever.
Oh, it really is. It's tremendous nice. Dodge.
Roberts and Gladstone. Robbie, what's going on, bud? How you doing today?
Hey, guys. Hello, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Robert?
Listen, man, like, they traded Montgomery, and, you know, the rule of thumb is you never trade good lefty pitching. They didn't score runs for that guy. I don't understand why they're not really making a hard push for him.
Well, he wants to go back to Texas. You know,
I'm sorry?
He wants to go back to Texas.
He wants to go back to Texas. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's and to be honest with you, I mean, the Yankees traded him away and basically said that they didn't think he could be a crack their postseason starting rotation.
Mm.
And then he transformed himself as a starter with the St. Louis Cardinals and changed the way that he pitched, which led to the uptick in his career. I don't disagree with you, Robert. The deal that they made at the time made little to no sense. I understand Harrison Bader, local kid, local guy, nice story, all of that. But you never trade lefty starting pitching if you're a Yankee.
Especially if you're the Yankees.
No doubt about it.
But listen, one more thing real quick. I'll let you. Thank you again for my call. But,
you got it, bud.
You know, but they didn't hit for him. They didn't hit for him. I mean, they go out and they score one or two runs for him. You know, he'd go six, seven. He'd go deep into the game.
No, Rob, he's a quality pitcher. I mean, nobody's saying anything to the contrary. Thanks for the call. And Montgomery's probably saying, thank God I got away from that mess. Because, you know, if the Yankees didn't hit for him, think about the pitchers that got no offense or run support a year ago. And this is the point. Like, if you think that the Yankees can hit their way to the World Series like I do, you know, and not everybody agrees, including Moose. I understand the pushback because the rotation does have some issues for sure. But think about the stats, and I won't inundate you with them from a year ago, but you know them. All you need to know is that they resided in the same category as the Oakland A's from an OPS perspective, from an on-base, from a power. All right, but they were a mess.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you where they were offensively a year ago and where they're going to be offensively right now. But do you think this rotation with Cole is good enough to hold down the Dodgers' offense?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers, I look at, if the Dodgers were in the American League, I think I would have a different opinion. I really do. But I look at it as, can you get to the World Series? And I know the Orioles are young and ascending.
Well, the Astros treat them like a redheaded stepchild.
Oh yeah, they own them.
And just ask Cashman. I'll talk about the cheating scandal in 17.
It's true. The Astros, I got it.
Still, you know, offended.
The Rays are always going to be a tough team. It's not a cake. But if the Dodgers, who are as complete, even with Yamamoto's inconsistencies at this point, who the hell knows what's going on with Ohtani? And we'll get to him a little bit later. So he's going to speak today. Yeah, I do think the Yankees, if you have competent, you know, five and a third inning pitching with the offense they're rolling out there, I think the Yankees are going to bludgeon people this year. I think we're going to flip on, yes. And whenever you can find the streaming, whether it's Apple or Prime, whatever it's on, and you watch the Yankees or Sunday night on ESPN, you are going to be treated to fireworks.
I think they're going to score a lot of runs in the regular season, but the argument is, are they good enough to help this team win a World Series as presently constituted? If Brian Cashman doesn't add another starter to this team this year, if this is what they are, they get Cole back come June, and this is the starting rotation that you go into October with, are they good enough to win a World Series? My answer to that is no.
My answer is yes.
I don't think they're good enough. I don't think that rotation would hold down the Dodgers. I don't think that rotation would hold down the Astros. I think then we're going on a lineup for the Yankees. This is not Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter. This is also a Yankee lineup that we've seen fold up at times. Now, they're different this year. I'm talking about key contributors, key pieces to it, led by Aaron Judge, that have not hit in October either. That's the other problem. Soto will hit. You could stick Soto basically in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Soto's going to hit. I don't know if necessarily that's the case when you look at some of the other guys in this lineup. Giancarlo Stanton's now all of a sudden going to become a great October performer. I don't know if I necessarily see that.
You see, when I look at hitting, I mean, there's the obvious stuff, bat on ball, find a gap, at literal hits. What I think that this lineup is going to do, and it's going to be a little bit like those former Yankee teams you mentioned, is that they're going to grind, and they're going to have long at-bats, and they're going to get into the opposing bullpen early, and they are going to tax you. So just to navigate 2 and 3, I mean, how many times are opposing pitchers in the first inning going to throw 20-something pitches just to avoid, you know, serving up a meatball to Soto and or Judge?
The answer I think they're going to be great.
The answer is a lot. And then you do that, and downstream, the residue, then Volpe starts getting meatballs. Verdugo starts getting hittable pitches. So does Rizzo. So does everybody else. And that's why I think that this lineup is going to really be whole and cyclical, that it's there's no dead spots. They're really not.
Right, but is this lineup good enough against quality arms?
Well, I mean, it's the crapshoot of October. I get it. I know what history says. I know what Aaron Judge has done. Do I think Aaron Judge, if he keeps going to the postseason, eventually he's going to mash and remember that he's Aaron Judge? Yes. 100%. 1,000%. Do I think Soto's going to do it again like he did when he was 19 with the Nationals? No doubt about it.
Well, Soto, I've seen do it.
Do
Judge
I think Verdugo?
Seen do it.
Are you telling me Verdugo can't have, I mean, maybe Johnny Damon's a bit of a strong, but some sort of, you know, an October
Verdugo's
imprint.
Not. Like, I understand you're not putting him in the same class.
Lifetime hitter.
Yeah, but he's not Johnny Damon.
I'm not saying that, but that's why I hesitated with that.
Right,
but the kind of guy who who grinds out the important walk, hits a double with two on and two. Yes, they haven't had those guys.
I'm not telling you that the lineup isn't more balanced, isn't a better lineup. My question is yeah, there are going to be fireworks this year. The Yankees are going to beat up on bad starting pitching, and they're going to beat up on, and kind of the wave that you see in the regular season, they're going to beat up on some good quality starting pitching as well. The question is, come October, when it's game four and you're facing the other team's ace, who has no fear whatsoever, is stepping on the mound and is prodigious and really, really good and pitches with velocity, and you're not facing a fifth starter, is that lineup going to produce to overcome what is the ills of this starting rotation? That's the concern that you have. I don't think they are capable of doing it. I think they're going to score some runs, but I don't think they're going to all of a sudden outslug teams and win games 11-7, 11-8, 12-10. Like, that's not the way playoff games are played.
Nobody's really doing that. No, I hear you on that. I think it's going to be the best offense, certainly since 09. Let me ask you this. You know, me and Sal talk about this a lot. Who do you think going into the season, offensively, is the most important Yankee?
Oh, Soto.
Okay. So, who would you say is second? Because I wouldn't even say Soto just because I expect. I'm going to say Volpe. If Volpe, now I don't think he starts opening day in the leadoff spot. He's going to have to earn that, okay? And I almost prefer that he starts 6 or 7 and works his way up there. Maybe go Torres, maybe go Verdugo with the righty-lefty stuff. If Volpe matures into the type of hitter that most scouts think he's going to be, he hit 209. He had no idea what he was doing. And he almost had 25 bombs and 25 steals. If he hits 260, what are his numbers?
Yeah,
40 steals?
No, he could be
31 home runs?
Yeah, the sky's the limit of what Volpe can be offensively.
And I say that, Moose, because if he takes that step and he's that leadoff, you know, that night to night, you can rely on him. You got Soto and Judge. Who's getting these guys out?
But the question is he's not more important than either of those two guys.
I can make the case that he is, because I know what those guys are going to do. I don't yet
what
know what Volpe's going to do.
What was that lineup last year without Judge?
That was terrible. But they also didn't have Rizzo, also didn't have a catcher for most of the year. Also, right, I mean, they didn't have anybody.
But Judge made...
They didn't have a left fielder.
Judge, you know, 2 years ago was the MVP of the league. I mean, so, like, I look at it, and Soto and Judge, those have to be the two constants. Like, those guys have got to be in, and they've got insurance, injury insurance on both of them. So, the point being is, if one goes down to injury, Soto could pick it up, or Judge. But that lineup without Judge being a part of it, and I understand no Rizzo, I get all that, but Judge makes... I mean, is the straw that stirs the drink. And now you throw in a Juan Soto. I'm not telling you that there's not a high upside to Anthony Volpe, but I can't make the argument that Volpe's more important than either of those two guys. Those two guys are the two of the top five hitters in the entire sport. And if you're looking for this team to be that prodigious offensively, those guys have got to play at a premium high level to the back of their baseball card, what they've been, and stay healthy and available.
But I expect them to, and that's why. And we're attacking Volpe a little bit of a different way. And I understand what you're saying about Soto and Judge for sure. If those guys miss 50 games or whatever, everything changes. The entire... ceiling, what they could achieve.
Well, I think a guy flying under the radar is Stanton, a guy that trimmed down this down in Tampa. Not much is expected, but almost has become an afterthought. Also, as Rizzo's become an afterthought, right? The team is a lot more balanced. We've talked about Verdugo. We've talked about, obviously, about Judge, Soto, Volpe, others in this lineup. I think a guy is Stanton. Can Stanton now, with not as much of the spotlight on him, a little bit more limber, a little bit more athletic, less muscled out, a little bit more trimmed down, can Stanton go out there and now flying under the radar a little bit, not having to be that second guy behind Aaron Judge, be able to have a big-time offensive year?
I'd like to know the absolute parameters.
I mean,
his
home run total in Vegas right now is 27.5.
He can go over that. He could.
Yeah,
he could go over that. I don't think he's going to hit 190 again. I wish that they would just get rid of him. Like, because the money that he's made is a different conversation. But the money that he's making has been an impediment to every other thing that they want to do.
I know.
So it drives
but
me
he's
nuts.
Here. So he's like, you got to love him because he's not going anywhere. He's here.
And he is a stand-up guy.
He is,
you know,
yes.
He owns the failures.
He does.
He did reshape his body, as Moose said. So if I'm not even a big Stanton fan, but if you tell me that he has a bit of a throwback season, I would not be surprised. I don't think that's outlandish.
Neither would I.
I'm with you on that. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the fan. Moose sitting in for Sal. Hey, Sal, how's the packing going, buddy? What box are you on today? Oh, my God. Oh, he must be going nuts there. All right, 1047 back on the fan on this Monday. BT and Sal. Moose is in for Sal. What's going on, everybody? 877-337-6666. Got a lot of things to squeeze in today. And over the weekend, it's the first time I really thought maybe we don't see Randall this year. We'll get to that. Ohtani's going to speak to the media today. Giants had dinner with J.J. McCarthy. His stock continues to soar. Are you buying it? Salva spoke at the owners' meetings and, of course, a little NCAA tournament as well. So let us get back to you. Richie Queens, PT and Sal. What up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, Richie. Rich. What's up, buddy?
Good. I agree with Moose on this. PT, you know, when I think about the Yankees making that the attempt to get Yamamoto, mm-hmm. They didn't want to get Snell because at that time he wanted 8 years. And to say, I know you said that, well, he doesn't give you 7 innings. I watched the guy because I'm this elite West fan. The guy gives you 6 2/3. The best pitcher gives you 7 2/3. And that was Logan Webb. So if you get 6 2/3 from a guy, like you just mentioned, all you want is 5, not to get him for the 2 years. If he didn't want to come here, it's one thing. But to say that he wouldn't be an asset, absolutely false.
I never said
that. He would definitely be.
I never said that.
Right? It seemed like you didn't really care for him for whatever reason.
Well, no.
No, you didn't say that?
Not even close, Rich. Matter of fact, if you go back to the conversations on the fan last couple of months, I was a big proponent, more so for Blake Snell than Montgomery. Not that I wouldn't take Montgomery as a consolation prize now. I don't think it's going to happen necessarily. But, no, I mean, Blake Snell's he's a really tricky guy to evaluate because think about the pitchers with multiple Cy Youngs in Major League history at his age, where he is now. You know, he's still in his prime, but for to not have a robust market tells you that he's an incomplete pitcher. But when he's on, he's untouchable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like Snell as a pitcher. They offered him $150 million. He was looking for $270. Then they gave, they gave Marcus Stroman the $32 million they gave him after that. And Stroman's obviously now part of the Yankees starting rotation. The frustration I have with the Yankees is this, is if you're going to be all in on this year, then don't dip the toe. Dive all in. Mm-hmm. Like, if this is the year, if it's the reactionary to going 82-80, then you should find a way to not be fearful of the 110% tax and do everything necessary. If you don't want to give up Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns from Milwaukee, fine, because you want to hold on to him as being insurance should Soto leave, then this is going to cost you is cash. All it's going to cost you is money on the bottom line. You know, winning breeds success. Winning, being successful, winning helps you. Packs the ballpark. You're going to have 40,000 plus. Sells the suites. Does everything, you know, fills the promenade down there. You can go eat there like you're going to a wedding. All of those things. If you're going to do that after you're the Yankees, you know, Snell was there for the taking. You flirted with him for weeks. He went to the Giants. Now Jordan Montgomery is out there. It's not going to cost you a prospect. You're not teaming with prospects down in the farm system to begin with. Go out there, spend the money, add to the starting rotation, and really seriously go all in on this year, because in all likelihood, you're probably only going to have Juan Soto for one season.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting point about the incentive to spend, because you spend money to make money, obviously. But the thing about the Yankees, they're one of the few teams, and, you know, it's not a shot at the Mets, but the Mets can't say this. How many times do the Mets play a midweek game, even when they're decent, and, you know, they got 15,000, 16,000 people in Queens, whereas the Yankees, you know, the incentive to spend outside of trying to put the best roster out there to win the World Series, which is what matters most, but I don't know that they really need to be incentivized to make these moves to fill the ballpark, because Tuesday night against whomever, even in May, if it's a little dank and chilly out, people still showing up.
It's not a matter of...
They're showing up.
I understand. It's 40,000 plus, yeah. Right? Even though you watch on TV, it's not necessarily 40,000
plus. No, it's plus, not, but 40,000 tickets account
40,000 tickets.
They fudge it a little
exactly
bit.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So, and yes, they're the second biggest draw on the road in Major League Baseball behind the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? So... it's not a matter of putting fannies in the seats. It's a matter of being, the Yankees wanted to sell you after the season about, we're upset, we're bothered. They brought in a department to analyze their analytics. They went out, they trade for Juan Soto, Verdugo. They got more balance within the lineup. You've got Gerrit Cole out there now. You don't want to give up the prospects in Spencer Jones because you consider him to be the lefty judge. All well and good. This is straight cash. The valuation of the team is at $7.1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of money every single year.
Man, they do.
Right? Go out there.
What about the draft picks with Snell?
That doesn't bother me.
It bothers them, though. That's the point.
But it shouldn't. You haven't won a World Series since 2009.
Yeah.
The Yankees used to be about World Series or bust every single year.
Good old days.
That's what it used to be. Yeah. It's not a crapshoot in October. Brandon, you know this. You've been around sports, you know, as long as I have, right? You know this. There are players that perform when the pressure's on better than others. Are they not? They're able to compartmentalize, sure, deal with the pressure, handle the pressure. It doesn't get to them, right? It's not a roll of the dice. You have to find those guys. An analytics spreadsheet is not going to help you find those guys. That's outside. That's blood, sweat, tears. That's what's going in the mindset, what's going on in between the ears, being able to deal with that kind of pressure and continue to go out there and perform. The whole mindset of the Yankees now of, well, we'll build for the regular season, get to October, and then it's a roll of the dice come October. To me, that is inherently an excuse for failure, and that is complete and utter nonsense.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is they haven't constructed a good roster over the years, and that's why I've been screaming from the top of the mountain that Cashman should have been gone. And he got the 4-year extension. Okay. I wouldn't have done it. The Yankees decided to do it. And
Cashman's got a lifetime deal.
He does. I mean, he really does. I just think that
one. Talk about job security.
Dude, I saw a stat the other day. This, going back to, I think, 2012, the Yankees' left-handed OPS was like the second worst in baseball. Imagine being the Yankees with no lefty power,
Brandon.
No presence.
Listen, I remember being in my Uncle Pete's in Astoria, Queens, growing up, right? My Uncle Pete, God rest his soul, was a huge Yankee fan. My dad, huge Yankee fan growing up, right? Mantle fans, all that kind of stuff, right? But my Uncle Pete used to tell me, we'd go play stickball, right, over in Queens, right? He used to tell me, like, two things you need if you're the Yankees. You need lefty starting pitching, yeah, and you need lefty power.
To neutralize the lefty sticks, you need the arms, you need the lefty sticks to bang over right field wall that's short. Right,
you need lefty power.
100%.
And the Yankees, unfortunately, for about a 4-year stretch, they had a right-handed oriented lineup.
Isn't that pathetic?
And it made little to no sense whatsoever.
I know.
And Cashman was defiant to that.
I know.
Finally, they've seen the light of day.
Yeah.
They go, they make the trade for Soto.
Yep.
They bring in Verdugo. Really, the point was they got Rizzo a couple trade deadlines ago, and they brought him aboard because lefty power plays, even at the new ballpark, it's still a short porch in right field, lefty power plays. I mean, Brent, do you remember the trade? They traded Jay Buhner to Seattle for Ken Phelps. Yeah. It was one of the worst trades you'd have. Why? Because Ken Phelps had lefty power.
Kenny Phelps, he looked like a softball player with
those
ridiculous
he had the glasses.
Socks and the glasses.
I wear glasses now. You wear reading glasses
we're
now.
We're talking. We're not trying to hit a fastball that's moving. What a disgrace. I mean, and you think about some of the misses that Cashman had over the years. There's a reason why, you know, you bring in Joey Gallo. There's a reason why you bring in Odor. Because there was no lefty power. I mean, really, this is not overstating it. For like a year or two, Brett Gardner was the lefty masher on the team.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
But
that's why this year is different, and that's why I love this offense.
And earlier this hour, I think you made a great point. It's something that I think about when I look at this lineup is Soto is going to set a trend. Soto is going to set a trend here for working pitchers, something that the Yankees lineup used to do in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
The Yankee lineup used to do where you're going to see pitches because that helps other hitters hitting behind you and helps work starting pitchers, helps work relievers as well, to where you're not up there just trying to swing at everything that you see. Soto's brilliant at doing that, being able to control the strike zone. That is an art form. I can't wait to watch him work.
Oh, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. Really is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!